Welcome to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Join us for an in-depth look at Iowa agriculture. Here are your hosts, Anna Hastert and Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome back to another weekend of Weekend Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Anna Hastert, your host for the weekend. Dustin, thank you for covering for me last week. Unfortunately, I did get the flu, so thank you for helping us put together the show last week. But we have a special guest here with us this week. That would be Ken Root. Ken, how are you doing?
Am I supposed to speak into this microphone here? I'm fine. I'm fine. It's good to see both of you. The Farm Broadcaster meeting is my 45th.
Wow.
And it is quite an organization. I'm so glad that both of you are as active as you are.
Yep, and as Ken is alluding to, we're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. You know, it is a great time. And, talking with some of the newer people that come in, I was at the Young Professionals meet and greet on Wednesday night, and they asked, you know, for being the first time in there, what kind of advice would you give them? And I said, it is the most intense, most mentally draining, sometimes physically draining, but yet most rewarding day I think we have going into Trade Talk, because you are running almost nonstop for 6 hours, getting as many interviews as you can, but yet you are networking with people and you come away with great content and you get to spend time with these broadcasters from all over the country.
Well, that has evolved for many years. We started in the 90s with the concept. And these companies, you know, always want to talk to you about what they have. Mm-hmm. And some people, especially the print people, used to say, well, that's commercial and we can't do that. But farm broadcasters look at it, that's informative, almost like we're going to a trade show of some other type. And so when we began talking to these people, and of course, as informed as you guys are, asking good questions, they just beat a path to our door. Now, it's a two-way street, you know. We learn a lot from them. That's new information. You can ask any questions you want in the timeline that you need to be able to use. And they also get a direct relationship with us. And in many cases, that relationship continues through the year.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great event. Anna?
So what would you guys say would be your key takeaway from this year's event, whether that be a key interview you got or just a conversation you had with somebody that was really eye-opening? What should our producers take away from this event? How can they benefit from us being here?
You know, I was going to say, you know, we talked to so many different walks of groups, organizations, you know, from all over the country. But it was something that, unfortunately, was the common thread this year, was nothing went according to plan. Many people made the comment 2018, a year ago, we're all sitting here going, all right, we get to flip the calendar over. 18's done. There's no way 19 could be worse. And Mother Nature was very much here. Watch what I can do. And, they said if we didn't learn anything else from 19, it's be flexible. And if you've got plans made, make sure you're already setting in an example of a plan B, C, D, and they said maybe even an E, because you just don't know. And this year has been like that. I mean, that's been unfortunate across the whole country, especially the Corn Belt.
Dustin, the president of the American Soybean Association, introduced himself as being from Misery. And it was his joke of just how bad the year had been at times. And it was just totally off the wall. I connected a number of dots along this same line. I met a man by the name of Bill Honig, who is, did I get his first name right?
I believe
with the
so.
U.S. Department of Agriculture, yes. NASS. And he's the guy that got the death threat against him at that crop tour that you were on.
Ooh.
That Pro Farmer had.
He was supposed to be my trailer car that day that he had got pulled off the tour.
And I said, you know, how can it be that somebody who just does statistics for USDA, other people have so much emotion that they threaten your life? So that is really the extreme that we have seen this year.
Yeah, and being at that meeting where that stuff was happening and people were getting very passionate about it, it was, you know, and it was because the farmers just didn't know what to do. I mean, the last thing they kind of had vestige in, when you have the uncertainty with trade, you have the uncertainty with the markets, and then the last thing you have is, oh, at least we can maybe grow a good crop, and then Mother Nature just keeps kicking you while you're down. You know, you can see where emotions and tension runs high, and, you know, you're at that meeting where people were getting quite heated with the NASS people who were just trying to explain how they do the job and where they get the data from. And the one answer I remember that was just making them more mad was the fact that they said, we survey you. if you don't send us information back, then we're guessing. And they didn't like to hear that.
Well, what I want to see, and we're getting closer to it, is how accurate is USDA based upon what they were saying back in April and May and June on the surveys on acreage, and then their own results on yield. And they admit that the year was behind as much as a month and a half at times. But they said, you know, we just statistically go on through this. We don't change what we do because it happens to be a strange year. Right. And coming out the far end, as far as I can tell, they're a lot more accurate than we thought they would be.
Yeah. And the thing is, that was almost like what did with the crop tour itself. Everybody was asking, will the crop tour be postponed? And, you know, Chip Flory was in charge of running that thing. And he said, no, we're not postponing it from the weather. The idea of the tour is to take a snapshot look of where things are the third week of August.
Yeah.
That is what it is. Whether it's good and it's mature and it's ahead of schedule, or whether it's not even at blister stage, this is what the third week of August looks like in the Corn Belt.
Right. I learned something, though, from the people in North Dakota who had the October snowstorm. One of the lines a guy gave me the other day, he said, you know, we had a near drought in the summer. Then we had way too much rain in September. And then in October, we got 26 inches of snow. He said, I don't believe I've learned a thing from this year. He said, I'm certainly not going to plan on next year based upon what I had this year.
Exactly. What about you, Anna? What did you come away with?
Well, like you guys said, a lot of people were talking about 2019 growing season and how we can make improvements on our operations heading into 2020, expecting possibly the worst again. You know, it's always great to be prepared. I mean, 2019, how could you be prepared for a year like this? But some companies are trying to help farmers be a little more prepared if events like this were to unfold again in following years. But another thing that was top of mind, as has been for a long time now, has been trade and all of the uncertainties surrounding those agreements that we're working on or have in place already. USMCA, of course, was a hot topic here. I actually had a gentleman with the National Pork Producers Council saying that he did believe that the US-Mexico-Canada agreement would get ratified before the end of the legislative session. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the first person that I've heard say that out of the other people that I spoke to about this topic here at the show. But it was interesting to hear him say that he thought that this agreement would actually be finalized and done with heading into the new year. So that gave me a little optimism and hope heading into the new year. And then, of course, China, we've been back and forth with that all week. Midweek, there were some issues over farm purchases, and now here on, as we record, there's been news that there's a little more optimism in those talks.
You know, the National Corn Growers had a shirt they were giving out, and I think it sums it up well. 2019 was one mother of a nature.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking about some stories we've learned, and coming up in the next rest of the show here, we're talking about some stories from an Illinois farmer who's written a book about how he calls himself the Forrest Gump of agriculture. Maybe not the smartest man, but he seems to have been at the right place at the right time every time something happened. We'll be back right after the break.
Farming has gotten so complex, you need another you just to keep up with it all. You'll come close when you work with your FS Crop Specialist. They know your growing conditions and your land, working for you season to season, helping fine-tune decisions to ensure a healthy ROI. And they're constantly in training to learn about the latest in seed selection, crop protection, and nutrient management. Plus, they're achieving certification standards that exceed the industry. Contact your local FS Crop Specialist to learn more. FS, bringing you what's next.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters. Here's your host, Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, as we are coming to you this week from the NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Another great time for us all to get together with other farm broadcasters from around the country, and also as we get together with ag policymakers and other ag companies, and we talk about the state of agriculture, and we get all of that together here in one place. Had a chance to sit down with a gentleman here today who wrote a book helping to talk about the ag experience in his life, he kind of called himself the Forrest Gump of agriculture, that he said, you know, I wasn't a smart man, I wasn't a tall man, he said, but I happened to be everywhere at once. His name is Philip Bradshaw. He's an Illinois farmer. He also was the one-time chairman of the Soybean Council, and we had a chance to sit down with him and talk with his book, and that's what we're going to hear about today on this episode of Weekend Ag Matters for this segment and the next one. So listen in and hear about Philip Bradshaw and his experience in a book he calls Your Food, My Adventure.
Yes, thank you for having me, Dustin. We really wrote this book for one reason.
Okay.
That was to motivate our younger people, actually two reasons, and to reach out to the non-agriculture community.
You know, that is seeming to be a common thread that we're seeing now and more as people become either more disconnected from the farm or just never were involved in the farm, that they don't understand the implications of what rural America and the job we do out there it has. No matter what you're raising, no matter what you're producing, whether you're Corn Belt or whether you're down in the Southeast producing peanuts, I mean, there's always something going on, and not everybody understands where their food's coming from.
That's right. And, you know, I go from taking and driving a little MG, you know, a little sports car, four-cylinder, to Mexico City in 1959. I go from there clear up to 2017, but really in my adventures, I go from that little trip down to Mexico City in 1959 to going to the Summit of the Americas with President Obama in the year 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that that's a story that makes agriculture relate and interesting to the non-ag community. So we wanted to reach the non-ag community,
mm-hmm.
and then we wanted to be interesting enough that they would read it. Then we wanted it informative, so we've got in the book, we've got charts that shows how much the trade has changed from Mexico when I went there in 59 mm-hmm. till now. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to China in 1978, how much the trade with China has increased. So that makes it informative. And then we hope it's motivational to young people to show up, go to the meeting, take part, be active, have these adventures on your own.
And, you know, and that's the title of your book, you know, Your Food, My Adventure. And, you know, it's really, you kind of told me before we got started, but it was kind of like being the Forrest Gump in the agricultural world. You know, you seemed to be everywhere as these things were happening. And it's just by luck in a way that you were there when it happened, but yet you were there to witness it.
Absolutely. You know, I wasn't the smartest man in the world, nor the biggest man in the world. I just happened to be there. I will tell one little story, and especially for some of you younger folks that are listening. And when I was a sophomore in college, a man down the road from me ran for congressman, Paul Findlay. Mm-hmm. He advertised at our college campus a political rally. I went to that political rally. It was four people. It was a chairman, professor of political science at the university. It was a student of his, Paul Findlay, and myself. Going to that one meeting changed my life immensely. I traveled to China with Paul Findlay. I had the opportunity to meet seven presidents primarily because of him. And I went to Russia in 1972 in the heat of the Cold War just because I went to that one meeting and took a part and was active.
So as we tell that story, you know, especially for the younger people that maybe are looking for that way to maybe be more motivated or be more part of what's going on, what is it about that experience that changed you, that got you on the road to this adventure you were on?
Well, I think that one thing was Paul Findlay was that, mm-hmm. because he went on and served in Congress. Seated right next to him in Congress was George H. Bush, so I got to know George H. Bush pretty well. And then, being on George H., I also had the opportunity to meet George W. on several occasions. So, those things. But the thing that really, I think you have to be self-motivated. You have to take the initiative. You have to put forth the effort to go to the meetings. You may think your judgment's not as good as those people in Washington. You know, we got a president that calls it the swamp now. I don't know whether I'd go that far, but at the same time, don't ever think that your input is not important, because your input and your activities help shape the world that we live in.
And, you know, you talk about the fact that it is important. And I mean, you know, for good or bad or one side of the fence or the other, people realize in the last presidential election how much of a role rural America does play and that our voice still does matter out here. And, you know, and if that to me is the best showcase we've had. Well, like I said, and I'm not in here to talk politics on one side or the other,
yeah.
but it's a matter of showing that, yes, you still have a voice. You're not drowned out by a million people in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Your vote might be canceled out somewhere down the line, but your vote helps put the base down for somebody else.
That's right. And, you know, like I say, I try to be very nonpartisan in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do tend to be, you know, lean towards a more conservative Republican Party. But at the same time, I was relatively good friends or well acquainted with President Obama. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, a lot of people criticize President Obama. But when you look at the obstacles that he overcame, whether you believe in these policies or those things, if you see the obstacles of this man, you know, carrying Iowa, you know, mm-hmm. it was just amazing. So you can't help but have great respect for him.
Exactly. And, you know, your adventure, you were in 2010, I believe you said, you were in charge of the soybean board?
I was chairman of the soybean board,
yeah. So, I mean, you've had that opportunity, and that has also afforded you these opportunities to go to these different places. So as you look back on this adventure, I mean, you talk about, you know, getting these children motivated, but what is it that really is also the message we can help carry to the people who are disconnected from the farm?
Well, I think what we tried to do in this book is, and one of the reasons that Rita Fraser and others promoted me to get me to write the book is they felt like, and a lot of people felt like, that my telling about my adventures would be a good way to keep the urban cousins, people that are not really interested in agriculture, keep them interested in the book to read through it and then see how we have progressed in agriculture. We have progressed to feed larger and larger populations mm-hmm. worldwide. We're going to have to increase our production, you know, in the next 20 years, almost by double. We're going to have the support of the non-agriculture people to do this. They got to understand what we're doing. So that's what motivated me to do the book.
Yeah, and you know, that's just it, because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of things that farmers are having to kind of dispel and, you know, or try to correct the vision of. And sometimes that can seem overwhelming. It seems like you're getting attacked from all sides. But, you know, it's one of those things that hopefully you can get that word across to the people who are non-farmers, that this is all going to be a domino effect one way, shape, or form, that anything that happens to the rural part of America is going to come down to affect them, whether it's their prices at the grocery store, whether it's, you know, the laws that are on the books for environmental issues that will eventually trickle down to how things are done there as well. Everything is cyclical, and it all becomes symbiotic in how we all work together and how we're all surviving together.
Yes, and I like your domino effect. I hadn't used that in the past. I'll have to use that, doesn't it? But we're all dependent on each other. Mm-hmm. And people have no idea. Now, I've been saying in some of these interviews, two things happened in my lifetime that I think changed almost everybody's lives on the world, clear around the world, and that's a big statement. The first thing is when we opened up relations with China after, 30-some years we'd not had a relationship. I was part of that group that went to China, first trip of private people went to China. That changed the world. That trade with China, we're seeing all the trade talk now with China, and I have a little talk I give on that, but we look at that, it's changing everybody in the world's life. That's trade change. And the other one is, you'll have no idea, but I say the commodity checkoff programs, farmers contributing money, small amounts individually, together, to raise $1 billion a year to promote and research and do new projects for these commodities. There's nobody in the world, or maybe somebody, but there are very few people in the world that haven't benefited from farmer commodity checkoff programs. One of the things I like to give an example is, had the soybean farmers not learn how and put the money up to learn how to breed shrimp in captivity, most Americans and most people around the world today couldn't afford shrimp. And soybean farmers in 1984 developed breeding of shrimp in captivity. And those are the kind of things, you know, I could go on and on about products that's made from corn you don't even think about. The ethanol, how it's grown, all these things. It affects everybody. That commodity checkoff program, which if you took the 33 commodity checkoff programs that it's around 33 mm-hmm. commodity checkoff programs that the USDA oversees, then you take the voluntary checkoff and the state checkoff, it's about $1 billion a year that's going into developing new products. And just heard one today because we had the bad weather, a new product that, you know, made from soybeans, corn, that they put on the highways to make them not so slick. But that's a big thing, I think.
That was Illinois farmer and author Phil Bradshaw. We'll be back to finish up our conversation with him and maybe get one of his stories that is featured in his book, Your Food, My Adventure, right after the break on Weekend Ag Matters.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters. Here's your host, Dustin Hoffman.
with Philip Bradshaw here, author of the book Your Food, My Adventure, here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. So, you know, you tell these stories about the places you've been and the things you've seen. So as we get ready to kind of wrap things up here, let's give our listeners a flavor of, if you're going to look back and pick one story, you know, you talked about, you know, how you got going, but pick a story that really stands out that you think is just something that kind of helped people get interested in the book and will get people you know, looking for it. And, you know, tell us a little bit about that one story that really sticks out for you.
Well, there's two or three that I really tell. I'll just touch on real quick. The first one was my trip to Mexico and what happened there. The second one probably is that when I went to Cuba and wound up going illegally, I couldn't print the book till the statute of limitations went out because I tell what happened there. And so I chaired a meeting in Havana, Cuba, and I think it's quite here. And then when I was in Romania and President Clinton was the president, he had a meeting that I thought was going to get me killed. And I tell about that in the book.
Well, actually, tell us a little bit about it. I mean, pick one story and kind of expound a little bit. If you can, because I want to make sure we get our listeners interested in coming out to buy it.
Okay, then what really... I think the story I would choose on that was I was chairman of the Inter-American Group for the Eradication of Foot and Mouth Disease. And so I was chairman of that group. They decided to have a meeting in Havana, Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So I was to go to trade. We had a restriction on travel to Cuba at the time. So I filed all the papers and everything to go to Cuba to the meeting, chair of the meeting. I talked to the USDA folks. I talked to the State Department people. Everything fine. The night before I was to leave, I hadn't got my papers authorizing me to go. They said, oh, you're going to get them. So I flew to Cancun, Mexico. Got down to Cancun. My plane from Cancun to Havana was going to go out the next day. It wasn't there. So I didn't fly. So I waited and went in 2 days late. Well, I flew over there illegally. Never did get the papers. Never to this day. And when I got over there, I was nervous. And the Cuban officials saw I was nervous. And they stopped me and... Dumped all my papers out on the table. I had a briefcase full of papers, just literally dumped them out there and went all through it. Then they found out I was going to a meeting and I had a tourist visa that I bought in Cancun just to get over there. And then when I came back, I could have been arrested. Mm-hmm. So I was terribly nervous, to say the least. But read about it. I tell a little more about it in the book, but it's interesting. And then Bill Clinton's meeting. And I was in Romania, and he had a meeting with Simon Vrotsky, you know, that wrote the book, and had put out the Iranians had put out an act saying they're going to harass Americans, and I was one of the Americans they harassed, and I really thought they was going to kill me.
Well, it's unfortunate, but thank you for taking the time, Phil, again. The book called Your Food, My Adventure. You want to tell our listeners where they'd be able to pick that up?
Of course, it's on Amazon. You can go into Amazon and pick it up. And, of course, if you like it, you can write a favorable review, and it might help me sell some more books. But I did not write it to sell books. I wrote it to tell the story.
And the book seems to have a nice foreword from former Secretary of Agriculture, John Block, as well.
Yeah, John Block wrote a nice former for me, because I traveled with Jack a couple times, and I've known Jack for a long time. And the President Emeritus of the University of Illinois, Bob Easter, wrote the foreword.
All right. So, well, again, the book called Your Food, My Adventure, Philip. We appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today.
Hey, Dustin.
And that was Illinois farmer Philip Bradshaw. Again, that book, Your Food, My Journey. You can check out that online and try to find that out on Amazon. So definitely some interesting stories here as we get ready to wrap up here. And AFB, wow, it's been quite an experience again this year. Got some good news to share with everybody here from the network itself, from NAFB.
Yeah, so Russ Parker, who is the operations manager for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, was awarded with the Dix Harper Meritorious Service Award last night at a banquet. So congratulations again to Russ on that award. He puts in a lot of hard work, not only for us, but for a lot of other farm networks across the country.
Yeah, and his sponsorship, his support of the foundation is just amazing. And, you know, he's always there to be there for the people, like you said, around the country and give support. And even if they're people that he's not necessarily associated with, he keeps those connections going and is always there to give support and advice.
We don't take that award lightly. In the 76 years of the organization, it has gone to the primary people who have been helpful in this organization who are not farm broadcasters. And Russ really fits in with them from the 1970s on. His recent work with the NAFB Foundation has been wonderful. We had four scholarship winners this year with that foundation. We try to have four to five each year. And the only problem I have with the scholarship winners is they're too bright. You know, I think we should have it where you can't have a grade point above like 2.5 or 3. Because they won't make it as farm broadcasters.
Well, now we know how that works. Okay. So we're going to have a lot of our coverage up on the website, iowaagnet.com. You'll be able to find some of our interviews. I know we have a podcast. I sat down with Undersecretary USDA Bill Northey. We talked about some extensions to the crop insurance premium deadlines and a few other topics. So go again also to our website, iowaagnet.com, and check that stuff out as well.
Sonny Perdue was here yesterday afternoon, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, and sort of a record-breaking week as far as how many things actually happened. And we'll tell you about that as we go through the next week.
Anna, you get to wrap it up. I mean, you're the host.
Yeah, so like Dustin said, best way to find more information from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network is iowaagnet.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.